Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Got Joshua Phillip on the line with me. Joshua is an editor and the senior investigative reporter for the Epoch Times, the only print newspaper, I guess I have to say, that I read whenever I get it. I do have a subscription to the hard copy, and I typically get a couple copies a week. These guys are really, really good. They are experts, for lack of better terms, on China. And Charlotte, who will be following up after we're done with Joshua here, Charlotte is an boots on the ground expert and what's going on in Mexico. Two topics, China and Mexico, that are very, very relevant to what's going on in politics right now. A lot of people, Josh, are very worried about China from an economic standpoint and also from, from a trade standpoint and also from an infiltration, for lack of better term, standpoint. Should we worry about them, in your opinion, in terms of what's going on with trade?
Very, very much so. I would say the most recent red flag, the one that really got some attention, was the China 2025 project. When they announced this, they announced it as an internal program meant to replace, you know, the U.S. basically as the world technological leader. Now, when a lot of the terms the Chinese Communist Party uses are loaded terms. They have deeper meaning than you would immediately interpret if you don't know their kind of internal doctrine.
Okay.
China 2025 was pretty direct in its agenda, right? It ties into the One Belt, One Road initiative, them going to, you know, Africa, Latin America, Europe, trying to build infrastructure projects, and then managing those infrastructure projects after. But packaged in with that are, you know, their new GPS replacement, for example, their new U.S.-led internet system replacement, you know, an internet separate from the U.S.-led internet that can connect with it, but that can be, you know, separated on a dime. Technology into the infrastructure, such as the, you know, Golden Shield, the system, things meant for social control, totalitarian social control, and also the, you know, requirements that the Chinese Communist Party will manage this infrastructure after it's built. If you look into their ideas, technological leadership,
Josh, I got a question. You talk about social intervention. I want to talk about that shortly, but not right now. Right now, the big concern with our listeners and with virtually the big concern that's being expressed in the total media in the United States, the biggest concern that's expressed by our president, Donald Trump, is basically the danger that they pose to us from a trade standpoint. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, well, China's running circles around us with unfair trade practices. You know, we trade at a loss. We don't get a whole lot out of it. Our factories are going to China. When you sell off your factories, you sell off your manufacturing capability. You sell off not just the factories, but even the resource channels, supply. You know, the supply channels. You sell off. You know, they're going to Africa, Australia, different countries, buying up mines. They run the market for the rare earth minerals, which are needed for smartphones, you know, computers, you name it, solar panels, you name it. So when you're talking about them overtaking, say, U.S. manufacturing, global manufacturing, it's not just the factories. It's the whole, you know, nine yards, everything that goes with it. Logistics, raw materials, know-how. They're doing gray markets where they're manufacturing, say two production, you know, schedules of the product and then one for their own domestic market. It's they're learning how to do it. For them, this is, you know, some of the U.S. companies in the long run. They're working with them until they can replace them. And in addition to that, they're using technology theft. They're hacking our networks, stealing our information. They're diverting traffic through China Telecom, which they've been caught doing. They've been sending students to companies for internships, learning how to do stuff and bringing it back to China. They're not just copying the technology. They're even copying management structures, how to run the companies. And then the Chinese Communist Party gives these companies money. They're able to trade at a loss And so no U.S. company is capable of competing with them. Once they shut out their competition, then they then control the market. And they can, well, and they're using this method in countries in the world. They're going, they're moving quickly on it too. It's tied into long-term direct guidance from the Chinese Communist Party, the latest being China 2025, but many other projects, three torch program, you know, many, many just like it.
I have to say, Joshua, the Chinese race, who I have an awful lot of respect for, I don't know if you remember or not, but my parents basically grew up in China. They have a totally different concept, and I've said this numerous times on the show on time frames. Now, China has been doing this for a long time, and the longer you're doing something, the better you get. And I have to say, when you talk about the gray market, which really did spike my interest, they're getting to be very, very good, and that's very, very dangerous for the United States.
Yeah, fully agreed. I think one important thing to clarify is the Chinese Communist Party destroyed a lot of the traditional Chinese values. They've tried to merge their identity with that of the Chinese people. They do not represent the Chinese people, though. This is a totalitarian regime that has killed somewhere between, you know, 50 and 70 million Chinese people in the last, you know, like few decades. This is a totalitarian regime that has brought in social controls, the likes of which I don't think even Orwell could have imagined. It does not represent the Chinese people. And during the Cultural Revolution and other movements, it not only, I'd say, destroyed the culture, but even killed those who wanted to hold on to it.
Yeah.
It's true that they kept a lot of the deception that was involved in traditional Chinese warfare, things like Sun Tzu and such, you know, which is real. But I would say that they tossed out the good parts. There were plenty of very righteous concepts, in my opinion, that existed in traditional Chinese that they did. They kept the deception. They kept the kind of, you know, cloak and dagger type stuff, the smoke and mirrors type stuff, but
right. All
the good tossed out.
Well, the thing that I was referring to really was Chinese people who I know in the United States. Many of them were fairly recent immigrants, but many of them also were not fairly recent immigrants. Many of them had been here for a couple of generations. And right now, for example, Vancouver, British Columbia, which is just a scant 45 minutes north of where I'm sitting right now, is practically, I would say they are probably 40% Chinese, and a very high percentage of the remaining 60% would be like another Asian group of people, Koreans, for example. But Chinese are very, very bright. They're very, very conniving. There's some one thing a lot of people don't realize, and we've got to wrap this thing up here in about 30 seconds or thereabouts. One thing people don't realize is China had the world's largest economy for years and years and years until the Opium Wars. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, it's true. You know, 5,000 years of history. I don't think any other country in the world has maintained the same basic system for that long. It's incredible. It's a very deep culture as well. You're talking about many dynasties. Every dynasty had its own dress, its own
right.
values, its own culture. You have, you know, military doctrine going back 5,000 years.
The problem is, I don't mean to cut you off, but I have to. We've got to take a commercial break here. People really have to realize that China is a very, very, very formidable opposite to us. Josh Philip, thank you so much, my man.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, I have to make one comment about Joshua Phillip. Joshua and Charlotte Cuthbertson, who are going to be on the show later in a later segment. Actually, Joshua obviously was just on it. Are a couple of really great people. I love their paper, and I love the type of reporting that they do. I have Chris Temple on the line right now with me. Chris and I are going to talk also a little bit about a specific aspect about the wall with Mexico that Chris brought up that I think is really interesting. Chris, the question becomes, does Donald Trump, does the administration have the ability without the support of both the House and the Senate, i.e. Congress, do they have the ability to provide funding for this wall?
Well, the argument I would make were I on Trump's legal team is that, and you have to understand how we got to this point, and I want to talk about that, but he probably has more ground under the different provisions of the president being able to take unilateral action than did Barack Obama when he issued an executive order over the so-called Dreamers. And really screwed that whole thing up. I mean, Congress should have dealt with that. And I think that's what the Supreme Court ultimately is going to say when they address what Obama did with the Dreamers. In the case of the president, this is more of a direct threat as he is selling it to national security. Now, the Democrats are going to cry foul and whatnot. You know, we're recording this Thursday afternoon. By the time people listen to this, we don't know if the president will have made the decision to get his border security by executive order, because it's becoming very clear he's not going to get it any other way. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, for everybody involved here, you have had for decades now this, and people, our founding fathers warned about this in every way, and it's not just the executive branch, it's Congress, which 95% of what they do was never contemplated by Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. It's the Supreme Court, because the overwhelming majority of decisions they have made, they have legislated, they have not stayed within constitutional boundaries and dealt with stuff that they should have dealt with. So all across the board, government has gotten bigger, more powerful, more onerous. And to this day, I use the example, Al, of back in the 80s when Ronald Reagan was president. And there was an instance where he ordered the bombing of Libya, and a lot of people on Capitol Hill, mostly Democrats, got up in arms and said, how dare you do that? You didn't come to us for permission, and so forth. And as matter-of-factly as you could possibly imagine, Jim Baker, who during that particular manifestation of his multifaceted service for Republican presidents was the Secretary of State, he goes in front of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and says, we didn't have to ask you one damn thing, because what the president did was authorized under Section 51, or Article 51, I'm sorry, of the United Nations Charter. So in many ways, presidents, Congresses, Supreme Courts have been exercising ever more powers well beyond what was ever contemplated. The Democrats shouldn't cry, because they thought it was fine when Obama did it over the Dreamers. And frankly, I hope President Trump does do it over border security.
Well, I have to tell you, regarding border security, and we're going to talk about that the last couple of segments with Charlotte, who spent a very large amount of time down on the border, going all the way from Mexico through Arizona and then into California. From what she was telling me, and from what I know about statistics, from what I know about what I hear about the bad guys who are coming in, I believe we do need border security. To me, it's just common sense, basic common sense, and I can't see how anybody can be against that unless they're simply trying to garner votes. Now, what I find to be interesting is that both Pelosi and Schumer, when the subject of border security came up, and that was prior to the election of President Trump, they were for it 1,000%, Chris, and now they're trying to buy votes, for lack of better terms, and they're no longer for it 1,000%. You want to comment on that one, buddy?
Well, you know, that's true, and you know, when I was watching everybody's competing presentations to the country the other night, the president was lousy in his presentation. He's much better off the cuff than he is reading from a teleprompter, even though the latter is supposed to keep him out of trouble and keep him from having a greater chance of putting his foot in his mouth. And then you have the two twins from The Shining,
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of money that was spent on them just for makeup would have paid for the border wall, for crying out loud. I mean, that was a real horror show. I thought Trump was bad as far as the appearance. Those two really were over the top,
yeah.
And not in a good way. But you're right. I mean, whether it's those two, whether it's President Obama, who, and God bless him for it, Donald Trump is making them eat their own words from, you know, before he was president, and he's not.
Now, why doesn't the damn press report that?
Because the press, like the rest of them, has Trump derangement syndrome. They hate this guy. Donald Trump could save a black family from a burning building, and the coverage would be that Donald Trump let the building burn down.
Right.
That's what you're dealing with. And you know me, I'm not a Trump apologist. I'm not a Trump sycophant. I also don't have Trump derangement syndrome. I'm a scorekeeper. I call things as I see them. On this, he is 100% correct. And every day he should, you know, and Republicans on Capitol Hill, at least some of the conservative media, every day, repeatedly, they should beat these people over the head with their own comments, because it has become abundantly clear. And I'm not the biggest fan of the idea of a wall to begin with, okay? I think there's other issues here. And I think the wall has become a caricature. But when these same people supported all of this stuff and more, and the only reason identifiable you can find that they're against it now is because the guy pushing it, his name is Trump, you know, that tells you what where things are at right now. And like Trump even said himself, and he does constantly exaggerate, but this is from Pelosi and Schumer all about the 2020 elections already. And it reminds me of a cartoon I had a guy do for me when I was writing about this issue 20 years ago, when Gore and Bush Jr. were running against each other. Unlimited immigration, Al, is cheap labor for Republicans and cheap votes for Democrats.
That's
and
right.
The Democrat Party pushes this. They every time there's any voter ID law, they want you to have a driver's license or some kind of ID. It's always the Democrat Party that's against it, because they know that the more undocumented people that they have in this country that are allowed to get through and vote, they know the majority are going to vote for them.
Yep. Well, and that's very true. It's, you know, it's a sad state of affairs that we've come to, Chris. It really is. I mean, right now, the only defense, or I guess I should say offense in this case, that Pelosi, Schumer, and the Dems have, is it's all simply emotions. They're not using facts whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, time for a quick commercial break. We're going to be talking about this at length with Charlotte Boots on the Ground Cuthbertson. Mr. T, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Chatting with Charlotte Cuthbertson right now, editor and I believe reporter for the Epoch Times. I want to say that we're going to get some very, very interesting comments from Charlotte that hopefully really tell it the way it is. I'm going to talk about something with Charlotte that I put on the internet earlier today. It's entitled Remarks by Vice President Pence After Meeting with Congressional Leadership on Border Security. This came out on January 9th. I want you to read it. It isn't that long. It's fairly lengthy, but it isn't that long. But it really, really opens up your eyes as to the evil nature of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Before we get into that political issue, though, Charlotte, what I want to ask you is I'm billing you on the show, or identifying you on the show, I guess I should say, as Charlotte Boots on the Ground Cuthbertson. Now, you just interviewed, if I'm not mistaken, the sheriff of Tijuana. Is that correct?
No, actually, it was Sheriff in Texas, Jackson County, Texas, and he was actually with President Trump down at the border yesterday, and he's actually heading to the White House now for a roundtable on border security and immigration.
Charlotte, what is your opinion based on what you've seen for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks spending time on the border? Do we need border security, or is Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer correct that we probably don't even have a problem? Is that even close to being correct?
Well, I talk to Border Patrol and I talk to sheriffs, border sheriffs, and every one of them that I've ever talked to have said border security in the way of walls work. But not only walls, they want fencing or physical barrier, whatever you'd like to call it, but you need the manpower and the technology to go with it. So it's a full package, but everywhere that that exists, it works. And so if the experts that are down there on the front lines are saying that in unison, then I think we have to take that seriously.
Do we have the technology? Let's not use the word wall. Let's use the wall from now on, the word wall from now on, basically as synonymous with just effective border security. Do we have the technology right now, from what you've seen over the last number of weeks, do we have the technology to provide effective border security?
Technology on its own, from what I understand, isn't enough. I was in Arivaca, Arizona recently, where there is either nothing or there's a 4-strand barbed wire fence. And Customs and Border Protection have 2 surveillance towers in the area. But because of the mountainous region, those towers don't see into the valleys where most of this cartel activity is going on as far as smuggling aliens and smuggling drugs. I hung out with a group, Arizona Border Recon, who has hidden trail cameras there, and they catch group after group in full camo gear with backpacks on, with their shoes that hide their tracks, just strolling into the U.S.
Charlotte.
So, you know, you need it all.
Charlotte, let me ask you this. Is the real problem when it comes to U.S. security, is the real problem the criminal element coming out of Mexico, the drugs coming out of Mexico, or is the real problem less dangerous than that, and all simply people who are trying to get across to provide, admittedly illegally, to provide themselves with a potential for a better life? Or is the real problem, again, I want to repeat this, the illegal element, and they're all illegal, of course, but the criminal element and the element of smuggling and drugs, which of those problems is greater?
I don't know if you can separate them, Al. I think the idea of people coming into the country illegally, you know, there are legal pathways to come into this country. You can claim asylum at any of the 26 ports of entry along the southwest border, at any airport. You don't need to come into the country illegally to claim asylum. You know, I was looking up the statistics in Texas today. In the last 7.5 years, there have been more than 500 homicides committed by illegal aliens. I mean, if you want to talk to their families and ask them what the bigger problem is, I don't know if you can separate them. The opioid crisis is devastating communities. That's just as bad. So I don't know if there's, you know, a worse illegal crime. Either way, they all seem bad to me.
Well, it's pretty obvious to me that Donald Trump really is, really wants to get his way, because I think he's got a big ego, or maybe a small ego in reality. I'm not really sure. But is the real problem purely and simply the criminal element coming in, the amount of illegal drugs coming in? Is that the real problem?
That is a definite problem. Do you mean coming over, crossing illegally? Is this, are you saying because of the wall?
I'm saying, is the major problem with illegal immigration, aside from the fact that a whole bunch of people are breaking the law, but is the major problem, the problem of consequence to the American people, number one, the criminal element coming in, and number two, coupled with that, the amount of illegal drugs coming in?
Right. Yes. Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Both of those are devastating communities.
Okay, so that in your opinion is the big problem. And what I don't understand, and maybe I need to get a different perspective on this from someone like yourself, is I don't understand how a rational politician who pulls the strings, like a Nancy Pelosi and a Chuck Schumer, why they don't understand that the gravity of the problem isn't the average Mexican slipping across the border, coming in and getting a job as a gardener. That's not the major problem. The major problem that concerns the Republicans is the criminal element that's coming in, plus the huge amount of illegal drugs that are coming in. If that is the major problem, which you've led me to believe it is, I simply don't understand how anybody can say, you know, I'm not interested in stopping that.
Right. If the job of the president and the politicians are to, you know, swear an oath to protect and serve their people or uphold the Constitution, which protects Americans, then I would think that keeping Americans secure should really be front of mind for everyone. But also not to forget that there are a lot of pathways for people to come into America legally, and I think no one has an objection to that.
And you're saying what? You're saying no one? You know what? We've got to take a real quick commercial break, Charlotte, here in just about 30 seconds. I want to get into that aspect of the situation at length, get your opinion, because you've been down there for a lot of time. You spent a lot of time down there, boots on the ground. You're actually seeing, you're talking to people who are in a position that they can tell you the truth. And what I want to say is I want to talk about the aspect of perhaps making it possible to allow more people in legally. Is that a viable option? And that's what we're going to address in this segment. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Quick commercial break. Going to be right back. Okay, welcome back. Continuing my discussion with Charlotte Cuthbertson, I have to tell you that this woman has got some really interesting ideas based on the time that she has spent down on the border. What we're going to talk about a little bit right now is an alternative that nobody seems to be talking about, an alternative for people to come into Mexico. And I got to tell you, whether it's a criminal element or whether it's just the poor schmucks who are looking to get jobs as gardeners, it applies to both of them. Now, What I'm hearing you say, Charlotte, is that the real solution to this, perhaps, is streamlining the process of legal entry into the United States. Is that correct?
Well, I think you can't really address anything until you've got a secure border, first of all. And then you need to look at, you know, how you're dealing with people who are coming in legally. And I've heard a lot of people talk about the Bracero program, which was a Mexican worker program that used to exist but doesn't anymore. I don't know that much about it, but, you know, there is a push for having some type of program that makes it easier for people to come in as migrant workers, but not necessarily as immigrants to eventually get citizenship. So there's that aspect of things. President Trump has talked about moving away from the sort of the what's called chain migration and into a more merit-based immigration system, which could help bring in immigrants that American companies need, skills that they need, so that we can sort of fill the gaps that exist rather than just, hey, if you're related to someone, come on in, no matter what you can or cannot contribute to the society.
So what I'm hearing you say in terms of streamlining the process for legal entry, you're saying forget the loopholes, i.e. relationships you may have with other family members who are already in the United States. What you're saying is simply to streamline the process based on in-person actions by people who want to come into the country. You're saying that is feasible. Am I correct?
The merit-based system is what Australia and Canada use, and prospective immigrants would apply and they would get points based on language, work history, skills, ability to assimilate, all of those kind of things. And then Canada would, or Australia would, look at that and say, okay, well, you know, we do have this real need for, say, tech people right now, so let's find a pool of people who hit on those things and we'll bring them through. The family chain migration, the immediate family is always able to immigrate, like that wouldn't be cut off. But when you're talking about being able to bring your auntie in or your sister, and then your sister can bring their husband and their husband can bring their cousin and then their cousin can bring their mother, and it just sort of goes on like that without any sort of merit-based weight placed on that, then I think that's what President Trump wants to change.
I think the situation from an emotional standpoint has gotten way out of hand in terms of the president, and I think the situation from an emotional standpoint has gotten way out of the hand because of the hatred that the Democrats have for President Trump. They still can't seem to believe, you know, that their princess Hillary Clinton lost the election. The fact of the matter is she did lose the election, and the United States has gotten nowhere as a result of the Democratic actions other than direct actions that the current administration has taken. For example, exiting troops from Syria, exiting troops from Afghanistan. That would not have happened under anybody else's leadership, in my opinion. But again, we're not talking about Mexico now, and I think that is the major issue. I would have to say that the thing has spiraled to the point where it is now totally out of hand, and the criminal element in Mexico has really damn near taken over the U.S. government, if you want to look at it that way. They're getting their way, whether rational people in the United States want to believe it or not. What do you think about that comment, kiddo?
Well, if you don't have a secure border, of course the ramification of that is that the cartels are assisted. You know, they don't want a secure border. So, of course, you know, anyone that doesn't support a secure border is indirectly assisting the cartels and the smuggling organizations.
Can you repeat that again? Just maybe speak a little slower. That's a very important point. What you're saying is you're making some very intelligent remarks on regarding people who don't support a secure border. Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. The cartels do not want the US-Mexico border to be secure. And so anyone who works against a secure Southwest border is indirectly assisting the cartel activities.
Yeah. Well, what's going on right now in terms of our I'll use the word government, and that's really not the correct word to use, are dictators right now. What's going on right now, you basically have three people who are dictating the direction of our country right now. One is the president, second one is the Speaker of the House, and the third one is the leader of the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer. Our government is not working effectively to get this issue resolved. And one thing I'm walking away from this interview with, this discussion, I guess I should say, Charlotte, is that I am really convinced that the very simple solution, as you brought up, is simply to expedite the legal entrance process on the part of these folks into the United States. Among other things, that would very effectively, I think, slow down the criminal element. And I'm understanding when you talk about the physical wall, I'm understanding from what you said in the past that there are portions of the border where physical barriers are absolutely necessary. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you gave an example of a portion of Arizona. As I recall, we talked about that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and your comment was that illegal entry into the United States at that portion of Arizona is down 91% because of some physical impediments to illegal entry were put up. Is that correct?
In Yuma, Arizona, the illegal entry was cut by 95%, but the ancillary crime in that county was cut by 91%. All of the rapes, the robberies that illegal aliens committed once they crossed the border, the sheriff said they were cut by 91%. So not only does it cut illegal entry, but it also the community is a lot safer.
I mean, to me, it seems pretty clear. I really don't understand why this thing is getting so out of hand. You know, I made a comment after 9/11, and my comment, quite frankly, was we didn't win that war. The terrorists, what I would call the misdirected Muslims, really won that. I mean, anybody who says that we won that conflict is absolutely crazy, because we did not. All you have to do is go to an airport and see what we're now going through as a result of 9/11. Now, you could say, well, Corlin, you are an absolute idiot. You don't care about other people because the TSA is absolutely necessary. Well, I would point out one thing. The TSA is there because of a group of 5 or 6 radical Muslims who basically took this country to its knees. And if that's any indication of where the United States will be a few years from now, I have to tell you, Charlotte, I'm really glad that I'm 75 years of age, because I don't like this. We are losing, and there's no question about that. Democrats are going to say that we're losing simply because of the idiot Donald Trump. I'm going to say, no, we're losing because nobody is concerned about the individual American and their safety. Charlotte Cuthbertson, thank you so much.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.